Welcome to Grounded Wellness, your go-to podcast for simplified and trusted information on how to live a more non-toxic and holistic life. We're your hosts. I'm Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, biohacking enthusiast and mom of three.
And I'm Courtney O'Connor, holistic esthetician with over 15 years experience in the healing power of touch and holistic skincare rituals.
There's a unique sense of calmness and groundedness after spending a day outside hiking, lying on the grass, or relaxing at the beach. Our guest today, Clint Ober, has over 20 years of research and development, as well as proof from 22 peer-reviewed studies confirming the insane benefits of grounding or earthing on a mental, physical, and even an emotional level. His work has helped thousands, if not millions, of people feel better, even recovering from chronic diseases and debilitating diagnoses. It's something my family and I do every single day, and the best part is that it's completely free. If you're tired of hearing about miracle pills and products with unfounded claims, this episode is for you. Let's dig in. Clint, thank you so much for joining us here at the farm for another episode of Grounded Wellness. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Thank you. It's a privilege and honor to be here, especially being out here in the pasture.
I know. Have you ever done a podcast outdoors like this before?
Not.
I know you do a lot of them.
Yes, I have, but not quite as native as this.
Yeah, not with chickens running around and pigs sleeping in the background.
Oh, it's all cool. I love it.
Good.
I grew up on a farm ranch in Montana, so
yeah,
I know a lot about animals, about anything you want to know, and it's a very comforting and natural feeling.
Yeah, it is. The name of this podcast is Grounded Wellness, and that's a big part of the show, is being connected to the earth. And I think this is such a profound topic, but it's something that gets overlooked by so many people because it almost seems too simple. But I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your background, and maybe let's start with your health crisis and how that came about and how that led you to discover grounding.
My health crisis started when I was 50 years old. I had been in the communications industry for near 30 years. And in that industry, everything in the world had to be grounded to earth in order to have to maintain electrical stability and to prevent fire. But I was 50 years old, and I had gone to a dentist and had a root canal done. And I didn't know the connection, but about a month later, I started getting very, very sick. And I ended up having to go to emergency care. And when I got there, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And a lot of tests, a lot of whatever. Then finally they put me in a CAT scan and found out I had an abscess in my liver.
And from the infection, it settled in your liver.
Yes, right? What they found was when they cultured it, that it was mouth bacteria.
Yeah.
And they asked if I had been bitten. I said, no. They said, have you had dental work? And I said, yes. And they said, well, evidently some of the bacteria via the mouth got into the bloodstream, ended up in the liver, and my immune system was compromised enough it couldn't handle it.
Wow.
And so I ended up with a big abscess in my liver. And so the first thing they told me was, you need to go home and start getting things in order.
Oh.
And I said, okay. I was home about a week, and they'd been a nurse from every day, and they would give me IVs and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I got a call from Swedish Medical Center in Denver that they had a new surgeon that wanted to do some experimental surgery. What have I got to lose?
Right.
So I said, sure, and they explained it to me. They said they had to go in and cut out a large part of the liver.
Wow.
And try to save enough of it, which is connected to the main artery and stuff. And then see if I could survive. And I did. It took me, a couple, 3 or 4 weeks to be able to make a couple of steps because I had no energy.
I bet.
And then, so it would take a few more steps every day. Then eventually it took me about 6 months, I could walk a mile. And so I But in that same 6 months, my liver grew back 100% in size.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I never knew that was possible.
I didn't either. No one did.
Yeah. Were you the first?
I'm sure they did.
Okay.
I'm sure some of the it was the experimental surgery to see how much of the liver they could take out where I could still survive.
And your liver is healthy, functioning normal now?
Yeah. I'm healthier today than I ever have been.
You're doing more than fine for a few days away from turning 80. It's pretty incredible.
When I went through that experience, the real story is that I survived. That was great and, you know, wow. But one night while I was laying in bed, I just had this overwhelming feeling that what would have happened to all my possessions? Because I collected a huge amount of Western art, Native American art, Montana, and I love art. And I thought nobody would have known why I bought this painting or why it was an important piece. Or nobody will understand why I, you know, did all these things. Because my kids would have taken their thing or whatever, but they didn't know the backstory, nor did anyone else. And that kind of made me realize that, and I was really disappointed in myself because I almost died, even though I had done a lot of things that were
entrepreneurial things.
Yeah, noteworthy or whatever. The main thing is I wanted my life to have more meaning, because when I retired just a few months before, it was like I was looking for something. I wanted to do more, but it had to be authentic and original. Mm-hmm. I began to recognize that I never owned any of these things, because when I go, I cannot take them with me. I bought them. I took care of them. I built a bigger house for them. I bought more. I built a bigger house. I built a 5,000 square foot two-bedroom home.
Wow.
Just a house of art.
Like a museum.
Well, to me, it was a spiritual place. I mean, I love this Native American and Western art. And it made me feel something that I didn't, my roots, who I was. But it was all important. But on the other hand, where does it go when I get through? So I immediately created this, or I have this visceral response where I just had to let go of everything. So I sold my home, I sold everything I owned except for what I could carry in like 2.5 suitcases.
Wow.
Bought a small RV and I headed out.
Wow.
I gave a company I had to the employees. It was a big company.
How big?
Too big. So then I took off and I spent a few months here, a few months there, but on the road, living in an RV, oftentimes living in national parks for 2 weeks at a time, or campgrounds, and the nicer county parks and all that. There's a lot of beautiful parks in the United States.
And during this time, are you just you're just going from one place to another, enjoying nature, or are you really intentionally searching for this next thing, or, you know, a purpose or a deeper meaning?
I was trying to find something. What is this all about?
Yeah.
I didn't have answers. I could tune into nature. I could tune into the animal life. It's about nature, you know, and you want being one with nature. And so that come home, because that's who I am. I grew up Native American. I grew up with animal. I grew up with all of this. And I'm not saying Native American are better, but they didn't understand ownership. Uh-huh. I didn't either. Uh-huh. I never cared about owning anything.
Yeah.
I wanted to take care of things and that kind of stuff. But
live in harmony with what's around you.
And protect things and so on. But the your Native Americans, they don't understand how you can own a tree.
Mm-hmm.
How do you own a mountain?
Yeah.
Belongs to everybody.
Right.
And so I grew up with that. And something happened to me. All of a sudden, again, I had this, it was like the earth itself was speaking to me. Like nature was, not words, something was coming through. And what I sensed was to become an opposite charge. Charge to me is to go poke people and stir them up, get them excited, make them do something. And a little bit later, all of a sudden, the next thing was status quo is the enemy. And not an idea, not a clue what that meant.
Yeah.
But it intrigued me. But so I went in the bus and took a yellow tab, wrote it on a piece of paper, become an opposite charge and status quo is the enemy. Kept that for over 25 years. So I ended up, went back to see a couple of my kids on the way home, one in Fort Lauderdale, one in Nashville. And I decided I'm going to go back to California. Got to California, I decided this ain't going to work. Too crazy, too noisy. So I headed up, I'll go up to Flagstaff. Just like Montana.
Yeah.
Pine trees, cold, snow, ski hill, you know, whatever. And so I headed there. And that night late, I'd never been there before, but there was about 10 o'clock at night, it was too late and I didn't want to go any further. And there was a road sign that said, pointed to an RV camp. And it said Sedona, never been such a Sedona. So I said, what the heck, I'm just gonna go there and pull in, drive up to Flagstaff in the morning. Parked on a little creek called Oak Creek and right across from a little tourist area called Tlacopaque. And here's 50 art galleries. I woke up in the morning and looked out and here's this, you know, all of this. And I said, looked up in the red rocks and everything. I said, I'm not leaving here. Went outdoors and sat on a bench, just resting, thinking. And all of a sudden a tour bus pulls up. And off steps a tour group. For some reason, I noticed their shoes. They were all wearing big white Nike type athletic shoes. And I thought, man, shoes must have been on sale or something because they all looks like they're all wearing the same kind of shoe.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things that sparked this question. So I wonder if there's a consequence the humans that were now wearing these rubber sole shoes because now we're insulated from the earth. Now, having 30-year background in grounding communication systems, television and so on, I knew that the earth had I knew what grounding does.
Yeah, you know the implications of
that. And I knew that static electricity was created because I wasn't grounded. And that my body's an antenna and attracts charge when I'm not grounded. When I'm grounded, I'm as big as the earth, can't charge the earth. Okay,
right.
So anyhow, I just intuitively asked, I wonder if there's a consequence. I didn't know. So that night I went home, took a voltmeter out and plugged a wire ground cord into the earth, about 20, 30 feet long. I walked into the house, connected it to a meter, and then started walking around my house and started measuring all of the static electrical charges, primarily. You can have EMFs and all that kind of stuff, but it's really the static that's thousands of volts. EMFs are really noise.
Okay.
And most people don't think about static.
No. So just in terms of getting a shock every once in a while, then we'll think about it, but not
if you can get a shock, that's 3,000 to 5,000 volts.
Wow.
Okay,
so you have a lot of static, if it's ever...
Yeah, and it can affect your respiration. It can affect a lot of things in the body, but nobody knows it because it's too hard to measure, too hard to figure out for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's not popular on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So
I even remember as kids, like, or it's some, I think, and then like touching something and, you know, just trying to get like a shock reaction.
Yeah, what I found out is the one of the biggest problems is when you go to bed at night, if you have partially synthetic covers, synthetic materials, on a synthetically produced mattress, mattress ticking, foam, you know, some, you know, but anyhow.
I've noticed that on beds.
Every time you And you can pull up the sheets sometimes and you'll see a lightning storm.
Yes, yeah. I have totally noticed that.
So you're sleeping in this static charge.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And you're worried about it and you wonder why you're not sleepy.
Right.
Or your nervous system, why your nervous system.
Right.
Okay, because you're electrified. And then you roll over every time you roll, every time you move. You know, depending on how the humidity builds within the covers.
And that's because of the synthetic sheets and the synthetic mattress?
Different materials, dissimilar materials.
Okay.
Like you'll have plastics and you might have a certain type of clothing, polyester, you know, just different materials.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen with like organic cotton?
No.
Yeah.
Bare feet and, or bare skin and bare cotton.
Yeah.
Only some plastic and synthetic materials. But most people have a synthetic blanket or something on their bed also.
Exactly.
Those are fire engines of static electricity.
Yeah.
So what I found that the primary problem in the homes is when we're ungrounded, we're living in a home with carpets or synthetic flooring or whatever. So we build up all these huge static charges. We don't think about them. In fact, I remember, you know, a few days before that I had so much pain in my body. I was like 54, and I'd been a cowboy. I'd skied for 30 years. I played tennis. I had a broken ankle. I've done everything, you know. And just a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I looked up to the sky and I said, you know, God, why did you make my body with so much pain in it? Because it was horrid, you know. Almost everybody that's in their 50s deals with chronic pain. I didn't really understand this because I thought I knew everything about electrical, but I didn't realize that our environment. I knew that when we ground communications equipment or video equipment and so on, that's how you keep good, clean, clear, crisp signals and prevent noise and so on and so on. But I didn't realize that our environments were so electrically charged. But I grew up on a ranch in Montana, and I grew up barefoot most of the time, or I wore leather-soled shoes most of my life. And it wasn't until, gosh, maybe I was in my 30s that I ever started wearing rubber-soled shoes. I couldn't wear them because they get me sweat. So I really, cowboy boots, leather boots is my status for shoes. Then I went to my bedroom. And that's where I found out about the mattress and the covers and how electrically charged your mattresses and clothing and everything in your bedroom is. Well, I threw a ground wire out the window, stuck it in the earth.
Okay.
The first one was to ground the meter so I could measure the difference between earth and the environment. The second one was to go straight to earth and then bring the earth in. And so I went and bought a roll of 3-inch wide metal duct tape. And I laid it across my bed, taped it to the sheet, connected it to the wire that I had thrown out the window. So, and then I would touch the meter with one finger, or one, two fingers, and then I would touch the grounded foil. And then I knew that I was at earth potential because the meter would go to zero. No static electricity on my body, or no EMF or anything.
Yeah.
And so, then I laid down on it and I said, well, this is really amazing. How come I didn't know about this? I'm like every other man. This can't be true because I didn't know about it.
Right.
But I was amazed that I didn't know this, nor did anyone else.
Right.
And so I, next thing I knew, it was morning. At 54, normally for me to go to sleep, I had to take Advil and leave the TV on to distract myself.
Oh, wow.
And but anyhow, so I fell asleep and I was sitting laying in bed reading the meter, and the meter in the morning was right here. I remember that, and I woke up and I says, wow, something going on here that's profound. And that's when I said, oh my God, and I need to know more about this. And I started grounding everything in myself, and then I started grounding a couple of my friends. I said, you got to try this because nobody sleeps well in the cities anyway. And and a couple of days later, one of them comes back over and he says, you think this has anything to do with arthritis? And I says, no, I don't think so. I think it just makes you sleep better. He said, but my arthritis is going way down. Then I said, oh my God, my pain, my chronic pain is significantly reduced. And I said, this is really something, you know. And I said, so I started looking in the literature. Why does grounding affect pain? Not a word. Nothing.
Yeah. So you were testing this on yourself, your friends. You were experiencing these anecdotal success stories, but there had been no research, just nothing, no mention of grounding in terms of how it impacts your health up to this point.
No, it was like new frontier.
Yeah.
For me, it was one of the greatest things in the world. I had something new to do that nobody else knew about. Problem always is, nobody else knows about it. So you have to educate them one at a time.
And that was a challenge,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so here 25 years, I'm still sitting out here educating people.
Yeah.
One by one, or not one by one, now sometimes 1,000 at a time. But still, that's the fun of being an entrepreneur. You are learning everything it's like trying to learn how to ride a bicycle while you're putting it together.
Yeah. Well, it almost sounds too good to be true because it is so simple.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Right. There actually is so much science behind this that has proven the effectiveness of grounding.
And I didn't do the research. I'm not necessarily a researcher. I was the person who asked the questions, hired the researchers or the investigators, paid the university, whoever needed to be paid in order to do this work.
Yeah.
Most people wanted nothing to do with it because it was too simple.
Mm-hmm.
And where's the money?
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
I could go on and on about people who are the world's experts in autism. Well, where's the money in this? We usually get $2,500 before we just to investigate a family and see if we can help them. And I don't say that lightly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the state of our healthcare system.
Well, grounding can't be patented, right? It's free. It's accessible to everyone. So there's...
Well, I have patents on...
Your products.
I have patents on grounding the human body to reduce inflammation.
The concept of that? Yeah.
If you're...
But it's free to go outside and...
You go do it yourself, it's free.
Yeah.
But if somebody is selling a product that's going to connect you to the earth to reduce inflammation, then that's something we have rights on.
Right.
But that wasn't to say nobody else could do it. It's because you have to be responsible here.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is more than... saying who can and cannot make these products. It has to do with putting together a body of evidence.
Right.
Validating this. You know, we have, you know, over 30 peer-reviewed published studies.
Yeah. And so what have you found in the studies?
Well, the first study that we took a dozen women and we were measuring stress hormone cortisol secretion profiles. What we did is we found the subjects. They weren't related to each other, didn't know each other. And then we went and grounded their beds with a 24-inch by 12-inch mat, kind of like those little ones. And before they were grounded, though, we had them chew little salivates every 4 hours for 24 hours. So we had a circadian profile.
Okay.
Free grounding. Then a few weeks later, we came back and had them do it again, but they had been grounded during this time. So before, their cortisol profiles were like spaghetti all over the place. And we put them all together, it looked like spaghetti. So then after being grounded for these few weeks, then all of their secretion profiles normalized into patterns of lowest at midnight, 4 a.m., everybody's cortisol skyrocketed, and then at 6 a.m. stop, and then it would drift down throughout the day.
And that's what it should do.
That's what it should do.
Yeah.
And question was, this is phenomenal, and everybody was really excited, say, wow, this is really something.
So it kind of took these women out of fight or flight and into more of their natural...
Yeah,
non-stress state into parasympathetic.
Yeah, so what happened was, they were stressed.
Yeah,
they were when you connect to the earth. The first thing that we learned was, back then the word inflammation wasn't in the language, so we knew that it was calming the nervous system and they were sleeping better. And so we didn't know if it was a sleep fault or this or that, or we didn't know. So the question always was, what is the mechanism of action? What is actually involved in grounding the human body that causes pain to subside? Because it really, that was the question, not sleep, because if you calm the nervous system, quiet the nervous system, you're going to sleep. Sleep is autonomic. It's going to happen in spite of you.
Yeah.
So we knew that we were after pain. What caused pain? And it was surprisingly, like I said, you know, we went through all the literature and, you know, looking at all the major health disorders like diabetes, lupus, MS, cancer, all these things. What is the cause of pain? Cause unknown. Cause of lupus, unknown. Cause of cancer, unknown. I said, what are these big universities? What is all this about? You guys are supposed to know everything.
And we were too busy doing studies funded by pharmaceutical companies.
Well, it's
to cover symptoms up.
It's about a business and making money and so on. And I understand all of it. I'm not saying there's anything bad with any. That's just the way it is. You know, we created this. When that study was understood, it was actually accepted for publishing. We were astounded because we just wanted to put it as a finding. But anyhow, okay. So. And I produced all these studies, or I supported all these studies. They've all been accepted for publishing, and they've all been peer-reviewed, and they've all... So it's... everybody's interested in it. Mm-hmm. And so we kept doing studies, and everybody got excited. Well, let's do more studies. And we should have stayed more with cortisol and all those things. But anyhow, it was just, what's going on here? Why? And it wasn't until approximately 2004 that I knew that oxidative stress is the same thing as inflammation. I understood that. And I understood that, you know, people get stressed and they pump their body full of cortisol, and cortisol creates inflammation and all of these things. And but anyhow, in 2004, walking by a newsstand and hear Time magazine, big article. And on the front, it has a picture of a body, flames coming up, and it says inflammation. And the essence of the article was, you don't have cardiovascular disease, you don't have this, you don't have any of these named health disorders. What you have is chronic inflammation. And this inflammation will manifest in different people based on their lifestyle, based on their genetics, based on their environment. So somebody might get cardiovascular disease because they smoke. Mm-hmm. But it was the underlying inflammation that promoted the real damage.
That's what we say about some of these skin disorders like eczema or rosacea. It's like, really, it's an inflammation problem at a cellular level, and it manifests in different people in different ways.
Yes, and it's because of what they're thinking, eating, or their leaving,
yeah,
or their anger or their stresses, mm-hmm, in life,
or the lack of grounding.
Well, that's what we ended up discovering here. You know, there are 30 of them. They touch everything. You know, but what we do is we kept doing studies on this, doing studies on that, and we weren't trying to conclusively say this is the cause of diabetes or this is the cause of any particular health disorder. What we were doing was trying to understand the cause of those health disorders and tie them to inflammation. And then we would ground the body, and then the body would return to normal. So by deduction, it's very simple.
You explained it really well to me offline when we were chatting, that the immune system is capable of handling anything that's thrown at it, essentially. You know, but when we are getting in the way of connection to the earth, we're getting in the way of the immune system functioning as it should, because we're blocking that free flow of electrons that can go in and repair damaged cells. Is that understanding kind of correct, or what would you add to that?
Yes, basically that's what we were looking for. And it wasn't until 2004 until I learned about the work that Ritger and the boys were doing back at Boston Mass, and they were saying, you know, you don't have disease, you have chronic inflammation. The inflammation is taxing the immune system to the point it can no longer maintain your health.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, what is the cause of inflammation? And everybody was chasing food or air, water, all of these things. And I said, you know, this is, whatever's causing inflammation is a universal. It isn't based on blueberries, or it isn't based on, because I know cultures that have never eaten a blueberry in their life. I know cultures that have never eaten a salad in their life. Mm-hmm. I know other people who have never eaten meat. I know people who live entirely on meat. All these health disorders still exist in all of these cultures. So there's something other. And it all started in the 1950s and 1960s. And I said, what happened in the 1950s? What happened in 1960 that caused inflammation to explode?
Yeah, because that's even a new term, right? That term didn't exist until
it wasn't even a term in 1960.
Yeah.
And I didn't start on any of this until the late 90s. And so anyhow, my mission was to understand what is causing the inflammation and why does grounding prevent inflammation? Well, I had spent 30 years grounding everything to the earth to prevent fire in an electrical environment and to maintain electrical stability of operating and functioning electrical equipment and to prevent static charge and all this stuff. So it all was intuitively laying in my background. I didn't have enough background in biology to really make sense of it until one day I was reading a paper about how the immune system works. Normally, you have a pathogen in your body. The immune system recognizes it. More specifically, let's say a neutrophil, white blood cell.
Okay.
And it automatically swims over and it wraps itself around. It's kind of a jelly cell. It wraps itself around the pathogen. Then it releases, like what we call reactive oxygen species. So reactive oxygen means it's highly electrically charged. The electrical charge is so significant it can rip an electron from the shell of a pathogen and destroy it. That's how the immune system works. So what's happening is after the oxidative burst, after the immune system destroys that pathogen, if there's any of these remnants of this radical left over, and it's electrically charged, it's what we call hot, it can still do damage. So if there's nothing to, if you don't have enough redox potential or enough free electrons to reduce that electrical charge on that radical, then it's going to steal an electron from something in the environment, which is another healthy cell.
So the cell, it's just this chain reaction.
So it sets off a chain reaction.
Cause damage.
So neutrophil after neutrophil, damage after damage, it turns into a fire. What we call oxidation. Oxidation means fire.
Yeah.
So it's oxidizing healthy tissue. And if it gets out of control, the immune system gets so compromised, mm-hmm. trying to put out a fire that it itself is creating, mm-hmm. that it can't take care of the rest of the health of the body. So what caused this? So it, to me, it's very simple. I mean, it's just cowboy logic. I'm pouring water on a fire here. I'm pouring electrons on, if I put electrons onto the body and the fire goes out, then it's like, you know, reducing radicals. And so that was the big aha.
Putting out the flame of inflammation.
Yeah, I was putting out the fire of inflammation. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't using food but anyhow, in vogue at that time was these diets, those diets, this exercise, all these things in there. I said, wait a minute, exercise creates inflammation. It's the number one creator of inflammation. This and that and so on. I said, but it's okay, you know, everybody go. I kept working through all of this. And so that's when we started, kept doing the studies, more studies. But each study that we did, whether it was biofeedback and measuring the nervous system or measuring heart rate variability, or it didn't matter, we measured everything. But no matter what you do, as soon as you ground the human body to earth, the body becomes flooded with free electrons.
Immediately, right?
Almost instantly.
You can measure that even.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's more to it than that, but for simple reasons, it's the body that absorbs the energy of the earth. And the earth is negative. When you take your eat off the earth, then your body becomes positive. All these studies were about validating the fact that if I ground the human body, it changes physiology, it changes functions of the immune system. First of all, it reduces radicals that are in the body. Grounding works at the speed of light. You instantly ground the body, and instantly the body now has a reservoir of free electrons to draw on that can instantly go and reduce these radicals. The inflammatory damage that has been done over this years or whatever is still there, and the immune system has to repair all of that and return it to normal. But you have to put the fire out before the immune system can clean up the debris.
Yeah.
And once that's cleaned up, then it can go back to work and return the body to normal. The only thing the body knows is to return it the host to normal.
Right. Yeah, I've heard you explain it with different autoimmune conditions like MS, in the sense of when you start grounding people, they get rid of the MS, they don't have the MS anymore, but they still may have some damage that needs to be repaired by what the MS did to their body when they had it.
Yes, I learned that because in the early days, in the MS, I learned that and lupus in the early days, because the only people I could get to as subjects were patients of rheumatologists who had lupus and MS. Said, you could take care of them. I can't do anything for them. You right. Babysit them for a while.
Right.
Because it's pretty, because they all used to say, well, you've got MS, so all you can do is get a comfortable bed, get one that goes up and down, get a big TV, and get comfortable, because MS does not get any better. Mm. This is just 24 years ago. So I started grounding people, they started getting better. The MS would subside, and eventually got to the point where I could take any woman with MS and say, sit down, and I would put an electrode patch on her hand, ground her to the earth, and in 15 minutes her circulation would start to pinken up. Her circulation improved, her respiration improved, her oxygenation went up, her blood thinned. Now, I knew this now. I didn't know it at the time sometimes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she would feel better. The pain would begin to subside, because the pain, the MS is tough, because it's neutrophils oxidizing the myelin sheath, exposing raw nerves. And they can't...
Sounds painful.
Yeah, they can't even control the muscles. But one girl that I grounded, she came and driven quite a ways, and she had severe MS. And I felt that I couldn't put her in the study because she had no control and she had bladder issues, supposedly. And so I said, because you drove here, so I'm going to explain to you what we're doing, and I'm going to give you a couple things you can take home, maybe a value. So I set her in a chair, and she said she only could go 15, 20, 30 minutes without having to go to the restroom. And I said, because of the study, we can't do that. So here, about an hour and a half later, her hand was going all over the place like this, and she had to hold it. But a half hour or so later, it had calmed down. Her pain had calmed down. Her color had changed. Her demeanor had changed. She smiled.
Wow.
She was, and then she said—
just a half hour.
No, it was about a little over an hour at this time. So anyhow, then she did have to go to the bathroom, so I said, fine, you can step off. And she went into the mirror and she started screaming. In the restroom. She said, oh my God, I look like myself again.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And anyhow, but through her and a couple others, I finally got to the point where I could take any woman with MS and say, I don't care what your situation, just sit down and trust me for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me, it's trust nature, And so I would patch him, and I'd say, usually within 15 minutes, I said, you no longer have MS. I could actually say that in 1 minute. You no longer have MS, because MS is neutrophils oxidizing tissue around, the myelin sheath and exposing the nerve. That's MS, and doing damage. As soon as I ground you, the radicals are being reduced, and so they can no longer attack the nylon sheath. But the damage that has been created, that hasn't gotten on. So you have to stay grounded to prevent the inflammation from oxidizing any further. Mm-hmm. But you don't have MS. Now you're in recovery. Unfortunately, in order for you to recover, you have to be grounded 24/7 until you return to normal. Oh, I can't do that. Well, I'm sorry. Then you can. It depends on, you know. But anyhow, so.
With your products to supplement.
It doesn't matter how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just do it.
But it's possible to do it while being indoors, while sleeping, yes. while driving your car.
Sometimes, yes. You have to be careful. It's like, I remember one woman in Santa Barbara, she had severe MS, lupus. So I made her like a 100-foot cord, connected it to a ground, electrical ground, and then put a cuff around, so a foot band. Well, everything was made by hand.
Yeah.
And so she could walk around the kitchen, do dishes, and do things at home.
Wow.
But so she could always be grounded.
Yeah.
And then when she sat down, she was also sitting on a mat. But she recovered.
That's a protocol for any autoimmune condition.
It depends. This girl was bedridden pretty much. And her doctor was the one who called me. Within 6-8 months, she was driving a car again.
Wow.
And out and about. Nobody could believe it. And I remember one time I was down in San Diego or something, and she broke her wire. And she called me on the phone in panic. I said, to come and fix it. And I said, I can't fix it for you. I'm 300 miles away. And so, but she was just totally, you know, hysterical because she was so fearful of
progressing.
Because the pain will come back.
Yeah.
Because she still has all right. that damage.
Right.
The immune system is slowly working away. But I can also make that statement about inflammation-related health disorder, and that's a broad statement, because today there's over 100 modern health disorders that most people suffer from, and they're all what they call inflammation-related health disorders. Some manifest as lupus, some manifest as MS, some manifest as cancer, some manifest as cardiovascular disease. But these are all unnatural
yeah.
health disorders.
Yeah.
Because inflammation does not exist in nature.
Yeah.
It does exist in some of our modern, where we've affected the habitat or the environment.
Right. Yeah, there are not these pigs and chickens that we see walking around do not have lupus and MS.
No. They have no cardiovascular disease. They're
right.
not diabetes. They're not going to have any of these things.
But inflammation is not possible when you're grounded to the earth. And
no.
the immune system, pathogens, you know, being in contact with these certain stressors, it's not new to the immune system.
Yeah,
the immune system knows how to handle that.
Your immune system, all of a sudden comes along a COVID or something, mm-hmm. sure you can catch it, and your immune system has to learn to adapt with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get grounded, stay grounded during that process, then you're not going to have the cytokine storms that most people are suffering from or expire from.
Yeah, you still catch it. It doesn't have the same effect.
What I'm telling you here today, don't, you know, rely on your doctors, do your own stuff. But I'm not trying to interfere with patient, client, or doctor relationships here. I'm just suggesting you can experiment with this all yourself. But basically, physics, ground everything to the earth to maintain electrical stability, to prevent charge, to prevent fire.
Mm-hmm. Which That's, is manifests as inflammation in
yeah.
the human body.
Yeah. It's like we were talking earlier. And I said, you have 10,000 grandmothers since Homo sapien got up and started walking around 150,000 years ago, whatever it was. I said, in those women who are all existing in you, you are them combined. Up walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And in there is the genetic memory
mm-hmm.
and the immune system that protected all of them and evolved and developed and strengthened in order for you to be.
Right. Yeah, it's so powerful. And so I want to get into a few technical questions on grounding. I was talking to my mom about this last night.
Oh, good.
We started watching your documentary together. I've seen it, but it's been a while. So I was like, I'll watch it again with you, because she had a lot of questions. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's simple, but a lot of people want to know things like you mentioned, for people that are already sick, already have an autoimmune condition, they need to pretty much be grounded 24/7 until they recover. But what about like the average person who generally feels pretty good, but you know, not as good as they could feel? Like, how often? I'm sure you want people to be grounded as much as possible, but what is the minimum amount of time that people need to be grounded to the earth?
Any amount of grounding is beneficial.
Okay.
Because it, just for even a second, it reduces radicals.
Yeah.
In nature, you'd be grounded 24/7. In nature, you can't have all these autoimmune inflammation-related health disorders. So I always tell everybody this, it's very simple. If you have pain in your body, pain is a message from the body that there's a fire inside. You cannot have pain unless you have inflammation first. Pain is manifestation of inflammation. And inflammation or pain is a message, get me out of here, I'm on fire, put the fire out. If you have chronic fatigue, that's an inflammation-related health disorder. So if you have any kind of a cardiovascular, all these things, it's all connected, it's all related. Everybody's life is so different. Doctors can't say, well, this is exactly what you do here or there.
Right.
Because it's lifestyle. I tell this story about the coyote and the rabbits. I grew up as a cowboy, and you know, sometimes there was not a lot going on, except, or some years, let's start, is there would be lots of rain. The next year, there'd be lots of grass. The next year, there'd be lots of coyotes because there was grass tea. And then the next year, there'd be lots of coyotes because they eat rabbits. So I tell the story very simply because I'm talking about a woman here. Is the rabbit sitting there eating grass like nothing's going on. Coyote comes along and, you know, sneaks up on the rabbit and jumps. And the rabbit catches the aim in his eye. The rabbit springs into the air and zigzags back and forth across the pasture. And here's the coyotes running like a dog behind him. Coyote always runs out of energy, not always, but most of the time runs out of energy. He hits the ground and is sitting there panting. The rabbit runs just a little bit further so he can still see the coyote, but he's sitting there shaking like this.
Yeah.
Just had his life threatened.
Yeah. I've seen
him. Full of cortisol. Uh-huh. Full of cortisol. And then all of a sudden the coyote wanders off. The rabbit will sit there a little bit like that, and then all of a sudden, big shake like that. Then it goes back to eating grass like nothing ever happened.
Because it works it out of its system, right?
Well, grounded out the inflammation.
Yeah.
Grounded out the stress.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the average mom gets up in the morning. And here's a kid or two. They're coyotes. I mean, they come in, mom, this, mom.
Chaos.
So the cortisol comes up. Every time, a little cortisol, every time you respond to anything.
Yeah.
Even the wind or something, you know, cortisol comes up a little bit. And so here you, and then you got to take care of the husband. You got to do whatever. And so it's a race, getting them fed, getting them taken care of, off to school, whatever it is.
Yep.
And so it's like 100 coyotes. The phone rings this and that. And,
Fight or flight.
Yeah. It's constant. Every time your fight or flight is response is triggered, then you have a little spike of cortisol. And so all of a sudden your cortisol becomes elevated. And when it becomes chronically elevated, day after day after day, then chronic fatigue, then anxiety, irritability, oftentimes depression, and goes on and on, and then pain and inflammation. So what I tell every woman, I says, you, when you come home from work or whatever, you have to go outdoors. Get a chair, take your shoes off, put your feet on the earth and stay there for 30 minutes and ground out the coyote juice.
Yes, I love that. I think that's so important. I try to do that, and with my kids too, because it regulates them as well.
Yeah. Then.
So in the morning, oftentimes we'll sit outside, you know, drink a smoothie or something, eat breakfast, sitting outside. Sometimes I'll have them just like run laps around the backyard before dinner time to, you know, not only to get some exercise, but also to be grounded.
Ground out his stress.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask too, does the Earth have different electrical signals at different points in the day that help to support your circadian rhythm?
And the day and the hour and the season and the rhythms of the sun circling, you know, it's endless.
Yeah.
They've been there before. It's like, you know, we didn't know about oxygen throughout most of humanity.
Yeah.
We didn't know about anything. And life was automatic, and we still evolved, and we came along, we learned, and we grew. And today we know everything. But we forget about the nature of all of it.
Yep. There's a lot of intelligence built into it. What about grounding surfaces? Can we do a quick rapid fire on? I want to explain for people to understand what surfaces can make you grounded and what surfaces will not make you grounded.
Right
There's
here.
A lot of questions on that.
Bare feet on on bare earth.
Dirt, grass.
That's number one.
Concrete.
Concrete is identical to.
Identical.
Yeah.
Okay, if but not asphalt.
No, concrete, if it's really hot and dry and the moisture is evaporated out, it won't be as conductive, but generally speaking, concrete holds moisture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not turf.
No.
Yeah, because it's plastic, synthetic. No. Yeah.
If you paint concrete, it's not conductive.
And what about like the amount of surface area that your body has on the ground? Does that play into it at all, or is any amount going to give you the same effect?
More is always better.
Yeah.
It's like more ground here is always better.
That's why you feel so good after you like lay in the sand on the beach all day. It's the best. What about grounding shoes? Is that the exact same as walking barefoot on the earth, or do you get less of an impact with the shoes?
It's a great substitute. Grounded shoes are, you know, they're made of the ones that earthing.com has. They have carbon in them. And carbon is, you know, your body is mostly carbon, but carbon is conductive. And it's beneficial because now the electrons can go back and forth between the concrete and the body via the carbon, yes.
Yeah.
Well, so it's better than...
And it's a great solution for people, especially that live in big cities. And that
if you can go for a walk on the park, or a walk on concrete, bare concrete somewhere.
Yeah. So that's going to be the best.
Yes.
And when that's not possible, the shoes are a good substitute.
Well, no, the shoes are only beneficial if you're walking on concrete or walking on the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. You still have to be on a surface that would facilitate
and
that.
Last year we gave away, or by the August of this year, we will have given away 100,000 pair of grounded shoes.
Wow.
The reason we did that is because you can't go sell somebody a grounded shoe because they don't know what it is or what it does.
Right.
So in order to create a market, you have to educate a universe of people so they can go share it with the world.
Yeah.
It either works or it doesn't. Okay, the problem is most people can't find the time to go stand on concrete or bare earth.
I think it's a matter of habit stacking. You just have to do what you would normally do.
Yeah,
all outside.
Yeah, and or you can find ways to bring it inside.
Yeah.
But you have to restore your immune system. This isn't about grounding. Your immune system. The earth is part of your immune system. It's what provides the electrical stability of the immune system, so it functions.
Yeah. So it's getting out of the way of that.
So you have to find, you know, we've created this modern world, and this modern, you know, all this high tech and everything, and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I hope the hell I'm going to be a part of some really big things that are happening in the future that are related to the earthing.
Yeah.
And to make it more available and to wider groups of people and so on, and more affordable. But on the other hand, you can hear about this, you can learn about it, and I've learned that the only way people really get it and incorporate it, they have incorporated into life, they have to experience it. They have to have oh my God, this thing works. I need one for my mom.
Yeah. And once you experience it, you you can't just forget about it. Like you, your body starts to crave it. At least that's what I've found. I notice when I haven't been grounded in a while.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's subtle, but it's noticeable once you, you know what it feels like.
Yeah, because your immune system is failing.
Yeah.
And you're getting fatigued and whatever. Yeah. It's like, you know, right now your energy is up and you look 10 years younger. Mm-hmm. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. And it's because the circulation improves, the oxygenation of the tissue, your energy comes up.
I love your focus on moms. We were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. Tell us why moms are so important to you and so crucial for the success of this movement long term.
Well, over the years, I've found quite by accident that the most typical person to have an inflammation-related health disorder, a lot of older people, but the people who are the most important are the moms who have children at home, who, if they're sick, they can't take care of their children.
Yeah.
They can't take care of their children. We know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have found, if we can help the moms get their life back, and that's one of the things that I hear from most important and most satisfying is, oh my God, I got my life back. Thank you for helping me get my life back. And they're thanking me. It's not me. It's just nature. But anyhow,
but it is, you're facilitating it. So getting this movement.
I get to sing bass and help out. So anyhow, but what's really important is today, the American home or the American family is pretty stressed to the limit because of the screens, the TV time, the FaceTime, and all these things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anything, but we've totally isolated ourselves from nature. We're not even aware. Like I will give presentations sometimes in schools, and I ask the kids to take their shoes off and experience it. The women, the female, no problem. The girls, they love to.
Yeah.
It feels good. But the guys say, no, I get my feet dirty. You know, I'm not going to take my Nike off. You know, I've got it. Okay. You know, whatever. So it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
But it's really, but the main thing, if I can help a young mom get her life back, and then she will instantly take care of her mother first, yeah, or her grandmother or her daughter. Then if there's children in the home, they eventually, if it's not too late, they can get taken care of. But anyhow, so it's...
And I think it's a good way to pass that on to the next generation, because they'll see the mom then knowing how to take care of herself, and they'll be motivated to do the same.
Yeah, it's a shared knowledge.
Yeah.
It's a shared... So it's really important, and anytime you can ground a child, that's... We do anything to support that. We ground classrooms for special needs children, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anything to, because it calms their nervous system, they turn into human beings.
So I know you have a whole line of grounding products, and we have some of them here today too. Tell us a little bit about some of the best sellers, some of your favorites, or if you could only have someone implement like one or two of them, which ones would you pick?
Well, the first one is free, and we're doing it. Just take your shoes off. Spend at least 30 minutes at a time, minimum, outdoors. And then if it works, stay there longer and longer until you return to normal, because the immune system will return the body to normal. That's what it does.
Yeah.
We do have a handful of products. We have a simple mat. These products that we have, I've been using for 25 years, generally this particular one. Guess there's a couple of them in here, but it's just a simple conductive carbon mat. When we did our first studies, we had to have a way to ground people so that we could measure them and see the difference. So we would make them sit on, sleep on, whatever, a grounded mat. And this is not something that is invented new. This is something we used in the communications industry on benches and whatever to prevent static electricity and so on. And they have a cord and it connects to the thing, and the reason I'm showing this product is because this is the number one selling product in the world. millions of them were sold.
Wow.
And they're very inexpensive, very affordable.
So the cord just plugs into the mat and then plugs into an outlet.
Yeah, into a ground outlet.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's the most affordable, most... Now, there are other mats that we have that are cover the whole bed, that go underneath the sheet, and things like that. You know, and then we have patches, the electrode patches. I should have had some, but where you can put an electrode patch in the hand or wherever the trauma is and connect it to...
Chris, targeted, more targeted.
Yeah, it's more of a targeted, like you have a severe arthritic flare. Put the patch in the palm of the hand, and in a few 5 minutes, it'll... pain will just go,
wow.
It's like pouring with water on a fire.
Yeah.
And this is nature. This is, I didn't invent any of this.
But you're getting the word out about
it. No, I just exposed it. I mean, just wait a minute. Hey, look up.
Yeah.
And so, and then I do things like, you know, we make, what size shoe do you wear? I
don't know. Seven.
Okay. Seven? That might be a seven.
Wow.
This is touching the earth. And this is touching your skin, then it'll conduct Earth's energy through the shoe, and your body will absorb it and become grounded.
Yeah.
What do we have to do? What can we do to educate more people?
Mm-hmm.
And if we make some money, then there's no point in paying taxes. Put it back in.
Right.
Things that we can help educate more people. And every mom who gets grounded, she does the same thing. She goes on a mission.
Yeah.
And she'll ground a dozen people in a year.
Yeah.
Because it works and it's affordable.
Yeah. It's hard to not talk about once you've experienced it.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about skin. Have you seen any skin-related transformations from grounding? I know you mentioned the color comes back into people's faces. Have you had experience with any other like skin conditions lessening or clearing up after someone is grounded?
Yes, we have a lot of young gals. Their moms will ground them that have the acne breakouts and all of those kind of things. And some of them are just breathtaking to see them, but they use the patches.
Okay.
Because they have, it's diet related and stress related.
Yeah.
We can ground a young woman, it'll change her life because it changes her outlook on how she feels, just her energy and
but
she accepts herself.
To me, that it would help with any inflammatory skin condition.
Yes.
Even aging skin, because you're lessening inflammation, and especially, like you said, with the patches, if you can get it to that targeted area where you're experiencing issues, it just makes sense that it would help.
Yeah, aging, anti-aging was the big thing for the last 20 years or whatever. Easton Blueberry's anti-aging.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a craziness. It's aging, you don't want advanced aging.
Right. Well, you talk about it like there's inflammaging, which is accelerated
inflammation,
aging.
Yeah. But it's, so basically what you, by getting grounded, you're just normalizing everything. But the number one thing that happens with grounding is you can ground any group of women and take their picture with their little iPhone. Keep the light and everything the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then 15 minutes, put a patch in their hand, just one patch in their hand. And so we know what's going to happen scientifically. First of all, reduces the negative positive charge and the body becomes negative. Then the blood viscosity, the blood, little red blood cells, they increase the negative surface charge by about 300%. Now they repel each other. The blood becomes very thin, like the animal's blood, and then it can get in and out of the capillaries and oxygenate the tissue. And as that happens, the color comes up. The pain goes away. The inflammation goes away. The pain goes away. The stress subsides. And their demeanor changes, their smile, and their O2 saturation will come up significantly. And so then all of a sudden, they're a different person in 15 minutes.
Wow. And that's in the hand, not even close to the face necessarily.
No. Just put it on the hand because the body is systemic.
Yeah.
Blood circulates once a minute.
Wow.
Okay, so that's important. But yeah, it's a natural beauty product. It's going to support what you do is perfect because you have to get that underlying beauty, that natural beauty comes from within.
Yeah, 100%.
And you put the glow on it.
Yeah, it's supporting graceful aging for the whole system because skincare isn't just about, we always say this, it's not just about the products we use, although that is an important piece of it. It's our lifestyle, our choices, and just not getting in the way of it. I love that simple aspect of grounding is that we're not doing anything crazy here. We're just letting the body do what it was designed to do.
No, let nature do, let nature be.
Yeah. So how often are you, how many hours per day are you grounded?
I have, for the last 25 years, I'm probably grounded 90%+ of the time.
Wow.
I'm either walking on barefoot on conductive surface, or I'm wearing I've got my feet on a grounded mat, usually bigger ones. I sleep grounded. I do research on grounding, so I'm always grounded.
Yeah.
And
what about airplanes? Do you go on airplanes? Can you feel a different, like, do you feel bad when you get off of an airplane, like, until you're able to ground again?
Yeah, one of the number one times a heart attack occurs when people get off a plane.
Really?
Because
I didn't know that.
It's not, I wouldn't stop flying because of that, but poor health, it exacerbates it.
And what can we do? We can just ground as soon as possible after a flight?
Yeah, what we've learned is, and a lot of the pilots used to do it, American anyway, but when we did our cortisol study, the pilots, because of some of the stewardesses were involved, the pilots, you know, all you gotta do is stand on the earth for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Then the rhythms of the earth and the energetic, the amplitude of earth's electric field, the increases and the decreases, all based on sunlight, where you are in the moon and all this stuff. But there's this rhythms that reset your circadian profile. As soon as you touch the earth, then your cortisol, like if you fly from here to New York, your cortisol secretion profile will be off 3 hours.
Mm.
If you touch the earth for 15 minutes, then it resets it.
Yeah, you're automatically in tune with where.
Now you're in New York time, you don't have the jet lag and the acid running through your veins.
Oh, that's such good advice for travel. Mm. Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's the best part. Well, Clint, this has been such an enlightening conversation. I know on a selfish level, it was fun to like talk to you after watching your documentary several years ago and having several of your products and just listening to you and following along with your work over the years. It was really cool to sit down and talk to you and get some of my personal questions answered. And I know our listeners will get a ton of value from this conversation as well. And I just think it's so cool how your life experience was orchestrated, in my opinion, by God, for you to share this message with the masses. And I think you're doing an amazing job of that. Where can people find you, buy your products, follow along with your work?
Well, the earthinginstitute.net is where you can find all of the studies, all of the research, and all of the upcoming things that are going on there, and answer any of those kind of questions. And for products, the thing I wanted to say about these products were all accidental products. The business was accidental. We never intended to start I was the first person to put a data or a satellite. My mission wasn't to make a map, it was sleep on. But anyhow, the point was, these are all products that were used in our studies, and most of the study subjects wanted them. Then they would come back and want more, and so there was a demand, and then we eventually provided the least expensive, most effective thing we could to get them the results that we had in our studies. Earthing.com is the main source of these products, the products that I created and sponsored. And just go to earthing.com. They have the patches, they have those mats, and they have the sleep mats. There really isn't anything else. The rest of it you got to do on your own.
Yeah. And there's your book that we have right here.
Yeah, The Earthing.
Amazing book.
Yeah, there's a few million of those in circulation now. And again, we've never marketed that book. It's a mom share book.
Yeah, this catches on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Clint.
Thank you for having me.